So all of you guys have important decisions as voters, so let's start it off. Here we go.
So we're going to start with opening statements, and we'll go in alphabetical order by first name. In your opening statement, please introduce yourself, tell which neighborhood you live in, and why you're running for mayor, and please stay within the 60-second time limit. I'm going to get in with Aaron.
Good evening. I am Aaron Peskin, hailing from North Beach, and I am here to talk about issues, and I think you're going to hear some stark differences amongst us tonight. I will protect and expand rent control. Most of my opponents will not. I am a champion of affordable housing. Most of my opponents prefer luxury housing. I support the economic recovery of all of our neighborhoods. They just talk about downtown. And when it comes to neighborhoods, I have fought my entire career to protect them. My opponents are embracing policies that threaten to ruin them. I'm a grassroots candidate. I have contributions from over 3,500 San Franciscans, teachers, nurses, artists, and that is exactly who I will fight for. Many of my opponents are supported by billionaires, and presumably that is who they will fight for.
We'll move to Asha next.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Asha Safai, and I'm a proud immigrant. Came to this country fleeing violence and upheaval when I was 6 years old. I was raised by a single mom who's joining us tonight, and I'm a proud dad and father of two. I put myself through college, earned a master's degree in city planning from MIT. I've worked for two mayors. I've dedicated myself working for organized labor, and I've been the supervisor of District 11 for the past 8 years. I've dedicated myself to 24 years of public service in this city. The fact is, economic inequality is crushing our city right now, and many working and middle-class families are being pushed out. And those are the families that I've fought for. I have a track record of bringing people together across political divides, particularly business and labor. That's when San Francisco is at its best. We have the resources in our city. We lack the leadership, accountability, and management skills. And as your mayor, I will fight for a city for all San Franciscans. Thank you.
Thank you all for having me tonight. Thank you to UCSF and all of the different organizations. I was born and raised here in San Francisco. My wife, Becca, who's here with us tonight, she and I are raising two young children here. We have a 13-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old son. They were born at the same hospital on the same floor that I was born on California Street, not UCSF. I do actually want, and I didn't plan to do this, but I do want to thank UCSF. My wife and I had one of those really tremendously scary situations where our daughter was ill last year, really, really ill, and we didn't know what was going on. And we brought her here to Mission Bay, and the nurses and the doctors here were absolutely incredible. And so I want to say thank you to all of you. We'll get into my experience, my ability to bring civic and business leaders together. I started one of the largest, most innovative poverty-fighting organizations in this country. I brought Super Bowl 50 here, and I've committed myself to serving community at every turn, and I want to do that as your next mayor. Thank you.
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Mark Farrell. Proud to be with you here tonight at UCSF. I'm running for mayor because I believe we need a change of leadership inside of City Hall. I'm a proud, born and raised San Franciscan. I'm a proud lifelong Democrat here in our city, and I'm proud that my wife Liz and I are raising our three children here in the city in Jordan Park. Our daughter is a freshman off in college, and we have two boys, one in high school and one still in grade school. And I was proud to have served in City Hall for 7.5 years, 7 years on the Board of Supervisors, the longest serving budget chair in our city's history, and then serving as interim mayor when Ed Lee unfortunately passed away. But I've been gone from City Hall for 6 years. But unfortunately, I've still been a resident of our city. And I've watched the steepest decline in our city's history over the past few years under our current mayor's leadership. I'm running because I believe experience matters. I believe competence matters, and I believe a strong vision for the future of our city matters. And for me, that's a city that's safe, clean sidewalks, and a vibrant economy. That's what I will fight
for.
Thank you.
Okay. First question. With corruption frequently reported in the news within various city departments, individuals, partner agencies, and nonprofits, how do you plan to implement policies or procedures to prevent this pattern and build trust in your administration? How will you hold yourself and the people in your administration accountable? Asha?
Thank you. Listen, corruption didn't begin in this administration, but unfortunately, we've seen some of the worst levels of corruption in almost 75 years in San Francisco's history. We've had 7 department heads either resign or have to go to jail. We've seen multiple city contracts that have been recalled because of the fact that they're not being implemented and being used in a definitely in a corrupt way. And we've seen many, many people have to resign that are frontline staff that have been involved in this corruption. It starts at the top. Leadership begins with the mayor's office, and the tone is set in the mayor's office. One of the things that I did 2 years ago is we implemented mandatory audits for the Department of Homeless Supportive Housing. And when that first audit was done last spring, they had to call in the FBI because the group was selling vouchers to friends and family. The second audit, invoices were being submitted for work that was never done. So we have to lead by example. We have to ensure that we have the control measures in place, and it all begins with the mayor's office. I'm proud to be supporting with Supervisor Peskin Proposition C. We're the only 2 people on this stage to be supporting that will institute an inspector general, and we will bring authenticity and good government back to San Francisco.
I said this yesterday at a forum. Corruption is paid by the poor. I'm going to say it again because it bears repeating. Corruption is paid by the poor. It prevents us from delivering on public safety. It prevents us from getting the housing that we need built in this city. It takes 33 months for someone to get through permitting to get housing built. You have to pay a permit expediter to jump the line. We need to have shot clocks on our, not only our planning department, which we now have because of state order, but we also need to do it for our Department of Building and Inspections. We need to get that 33 months down to 12 months. We need to have contractor scorecards for all of our big public works projects so that we know if a contractor is coming in on time and on budget. I'm going to make sure that nonprofits that get $1 million or more have to register as lobbyists so that we know who they're meeting with in City Hall. My City Hall accountability tackles these core issues. I hope you check it out.
Thank you. As Supervisor Safai mentioned, corruption under this administration has gotten to levels we've never seen before in the city of San Francisco. So here's what you should expect with me as mayor. First of all, as mayor, I will come in and insert new department heads because I do believe that leadership starts and stops with the mayor's office, but it also fizzles out to our department heads. We need department heads who will hold themselves and their underlying teams accountable. I will do exactly that. And also, right now, inside of City Hall, one of the conditions that has led to this type of corruption we've seen time and time again is that every single department, over 50 mayoral departments, has their ability to contract out with third parties and nonprofits on their own. As mayor, I've been very clear. My first week in office, I will cut off every single department's authority to issue their own third-party nonprofit contracts. We will bring that under one city department, under the city administrator's office. It will provide efficiency. It will provide effectiveness to hold these nonprofits accountable and every organization accountable, and also root out this type of corruption that we've seen under this administration.
The mayor said that compassion is killing this city. I respectfully disagree. Corruption is killing this city. I have worked over 17 years to expose it at every turn. I led the city's effort to make Recology give $120 million back to every small business, every residential ratepayer, and then I passed Proposition F to appropriately regulate Recology that was busy giving large donations to virtually every politician in this town. And I was the one who called for an audit of SF Safe and have held repeated hearings. And thank you, Supervisor Safai, for collaborating with me to bring San Francisco the gold standard, an office of the Inspector General with the power of search warrant and the power of subpoena. Please vote for Proposition C. The mayor thinks that this is normal behavior. This is not normal behavior. In order to make this city function, we need to get rid of corruption. I have the best path forward.
What are your criteria for selecting members of your administration? Who will you surround yourself with, and who will be your closest advisors? Let's start with Daniel.
On day one of my transition, after we win this election, I'm going to sit down and interview all existing major department heads, and they're going to have to interview for their jobs again. Transparency, accountability, will be key to everything that I want from department heads. I was just asked this previously. Throwing out names right now will get a lot of people in trouble. So I'm not going to throw anybody out there right now. But you can be clear that on day one, on January 8th, 12 p.m., I'm going to take the oath of office. And at 2 p.m., something is going to go wrong in our city. I'm admitting that now. And that will be on me and my department. I'm not going to throw the previous mayor under the bus. I'm not going to throw a DA under the bus or the police chief. I am going to hold myself accountable. The buck will start and stop with me, my department heads. I want people that are committed to public service in the truest sense of the word.
I'm going to move on to Mark next.
Thank you. So you ask who we bring with us inside of City Hall. So first of all, I'd like to say I'm very blessed to have worked with a number of hardworking, incredibly intelligent people inside of City Hall during my time as supervisor and as mayor who have left city government, who want to come back when I'm elected mayor of San Francisco. We will bring them back. We need that expertise back in City Hall, and that's who I will surround myself with inside of my mayoral administration. Department heads, likewise, as I mentioned before, we will come in and interview them, but also to be expected that we are going to clean a lot of house inside of City Hall and bring new people into the fold, because we need that to refresh our city government. I will also, for the first time, bring the private sector truly into City Hall, an internship program where we have people in the private sector in all walks of life to actually contribute to the effective governance within San Francisco. And one thing I want to be clear about, I believe in leading by example. And within City Hall, the first week I am mayor, we will no longer be working 1, 2, or 3 days a week back in the office. We'll be working 5 days a week back in the office. That is my commitment to the city of San Francisco.
Thank you. Aaron?
Thank you. First of all, I won't have to interview 53 department heads because I know each and every one of them. I know their strong suits. I know their weak suits. And I want to be a mayor that taps the talent that we have and brings in experts into an environment where people actually are honored for their work, where they want to come to work every day knowing that they will be collaborated with, knowing that they will have mentorship, that they can pass on down to their deputy department heads and the rank and file workers, the women and men who do the actual work day in, day out. And I'm very proud, actually, this may be the thing that I'm proudest of, is that I have the longest staff retention record of any supervisor in the modern history of this city, because I collaborate with those individuals, and they are so important. And this city has a wealth of talent in institutions like UC and San Francisco State,
some of the best doctors
in the world. Let's tap that talent.
I'm going to move on to Asha. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Listen, one of the things that's interesting about having served in local government for the past 24 years, both in the private sector and in City Hall, working for two mayors, I've been a deputy department head. I worked in public works. So I know how these departments function. And I, having served on the board for the past 8 years, I've had to interact with every single department head. And one of the things that's really interesting to note is that there has been a lot of carryover from multiple mayoral administrations. Some of that institutional knowledge is good, but we need a change. It's why the voters are asking for change. We need a new head of SFMTA. It's one of the most frustrating departments in this city. We need a new head of DPH. We have the highest overdose rate in one of any major city in the country. We need to hit the ground day one on that. That is one of the top areas to address. We need a new police chief. He's the longest serving police chief in 50 years. I love Chief Scott. He's accomplished his goals of police reform, but we need new leadership in so many different areas. And let me just end with this. I'm proud to have had the most diverse staff of any member of the board. My staff will be as diverse as San Francisco.
We're going to move to the next question.
How do you handle conflict and build consensus with coworkers? Mark.
All right. Great one. So look, I would like to talk back to my time inside of City Hall, both as mayor, but in particular on the Board of Supervisors. You know, that's our legislative body. And during my time on the board, I always represented the center-right part of our political spectrum. But I made it my priority to work with people on the far left within the Board of Supervisors. Not because we agreed on many of the issues. We disagreed on 95% of the issues. And we fought with each other in the press and on camera. But behind closed doors, we broke bread together. Because when we came to that 20th issue, we could find common ground. We passed mental health reform laws. We passed financial reform laws. Surprised a ton of people inside of City Hall. When I was budget chair for 4 years, every year the budget was passed unanimously with little or no drama. Those are the type of relationships that we need to bring back to City Hall. Because right now, City Hall is one big blame game. And that attitude starts and stops with the mayor's office. It is no way to lead an organization. In the private sector or in government, I will change that.
Aaron?
I am very proud that I've not only been elected by the people of the northeast corner of San Francisco 5 times to be supervisor, but that I've been elected 3 times by my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors, colleagues more moderate than me and colleagues more progressive than me, to be the board president, twice unanimously, and that's the only times that that has happened in the modern history of San Francisco. And politics is a tough business, but it is ultimately about making compromises and bringing people together to move the city forward over very complex pieces of legislation, like tax reform, where I was able to get an 11-0 vote from people who had issues with making tax breaks, people who wanted to give more away to downtown corporations, and I have always been able to bring people together to get to the right policy solutions. That's what I've done as supervisor, and that's what I intend to do as mayor.
Everything that I have done and everything that I have been about as an elected official has been looking at things through the lens of working families and how the decisions that we make impact working and middle-class families. My proudest achievements on the Board of Supervisors have been about bringing people together to build consensus. When I did the Student Success Fund with a couple of my colleagues, the entire thing was going to fall apart. We had the Department of Children, Youth, and Families, the Unified School District, organized labor, members of the board, and the mayor. And ultimately, we got an 11-0 vote, and we're able to put something in front of the voters that, if I don't do anything else as an elected official, will be one of my proudest achievements, because we will have over $60 million a year dedicated to our public schools to help families and those families that don't have the money to raise PTA budgets. When we did Proposition N, our student loan fund for first responders, citywide project labor agreement, I've been able to bring disparate groups of people together, and as mayor, that's exactly how I would lead.
I'm really proud of my track record in one particular area, getting housing built in this city. We got a building built on Bryant Street, 833 Bryant, on time, under budget, with good paying union labor. And we had a very powerful union say that over their dead body would we get this building built. And I had to go around to all the supervisors, this is when I was CEO of Tipping Point, and convince them. And we got a unanimous vote, 11-0 vote, to get that building built. Also, when running Super Bowl 50, Mayor Ed Lee asked me to chair that effort. And we had to bring the whole region together. We had to work with Mayor Liccardo in San Jose, Mayor Schaaf in Oakland. They were not getting lots of events like San Francisco was getting. But we were able to bring them together. We collaborated, and we pulled off a global sporting event that was such a hit that we have three more coming, including the NBA All-Star Game a few blocks away. So really proud of my ability to bring the region together.
With soaring food prices and the general lack of affordability in San Francisco, how would you make sure that people are getting enough healthy and nutritious food? Do you have any unique or innovative programs that you would create to support people and families? I'm going to start with Aaron.
So food insecurity, which some people don't believe actually exists in a rich city like San Francisco, exists. And we have food deserts in San Francisco. And to that end, during COVID, we did a remarkable job of working together to deliver food to food insecure communities. And then we forgot those lessons. And I led the Board of Supervisors as the president of the Board of Supervisors in filling those funding gaps. And I cannot tell you how upset I am that the Board of Supervisors came together, increased the amount of funding for food pantries, for culturally competent food in various communities, only to have this mayor not spend the additional $5 million that the Board of Supervisors allocated in a balanced budget. Those $5 million need to be released to people who are going hungry in San Francisco.
Asha?
Thank you.
So when we were experiencing COVID, one of the most shocking things that I experienced, as Aaron was saying, was actually going out in the community and seeing the lines of people waiting to get food in our city. Balboa High School starts on, you know, it's like almost five city blocks. The line wrapped all the way around the football field to the middle school. So one of the things that we did as a lesson from that, I passed legislation that created what's called a food empowerment market. It looked for the communities that had the most need so people could go and shop in a grocery store with dignity and honor and not have to stay in the line outside waiting for a food box. And we opened the first one in our city on 3rd Street in the Bayview. We made sure we would prioritize Excelsior Outer Mission, Lakeview, the Tenderloin, South of Market, all of the areas that need this work. So that's my innovative idea. I'm so proud to have gotten that done, and I partnered with my staff that are community-based.
Thank you. Thank you for your answer.
I will continue that as mayor. Thank you.
I'm sure. Daniel, next.
My entire career has been focused on serving low-income communities through Tipping Point. Many of the organizations that we have funded, from San Francisco down to San Jose to the East Bay, partner with different food banks, and especially SF Marin Food Bank. I, this summer, went to the Outer Sunset pop-up food bank where there was 1,500 families in line for the weekly pop-up that this incredible organization, the SF Marin Food Bank, delivers. And so I'm really just grateful to all of you for that. No one needs to tell me how many people are living in poverty. I've dedicated my entire career through Tipping Point. One in four people are too poor to meet their basic needs in the richest city, in the richest region, in the richest country in the world. We need to do better. As mayor, I will focus my efforts on lifting up communities and making sure that we provide sustainable resources, including enough food for every single child. And
finally, we'll have Mark.
Thank you. Look, food insecurity has always been an issue here in San Francisco, and I think it's a shame that the mayor is not spending the budget dollars allocated by the Board of Supervisors towards this issue. And ultimately, let's be clear. As mayor, this is about budget dollars and allocation. You want to look at any mayor's policy document, look at his or her budget. And the reality is, this year, over 99.5% of the mayor's budget wasn't even touched by the Board of Supervisors. So the mayor has incredible ability to effectuate change on so many areas here in San Francisco, food insecurity being one main one of them. And the reality is, as has been articulated, food insecurity affects so many different populations in San Francisco, certainly the poorest communities here in our city. A number of our strong ethnic communities in our city, in particular our AAPI communities here in San Francisco. Congregate meals matter. Food matters to these communities. I participated in food giveaways throughout this campaign in so many different neighborhoods. That, to me, will be one of my budget priorities. And as mayor, let's not be fooled. The mayor has ultimately control.
Thank you for your answers.
Okay, in San Francisco, we have a population of people who work in the city but call an RV their home. These RVs are parked in residential neighborhoods and along major roads and thoroughfares throughout the city. Would your administration support a plan to build an RV park within the city's borders to provide water and power to these vehicle/homes? If not, what would your administration offer as an alternative? Aaron?
It's hard to hear you.
Sorry, really? Do you want me to repeat it?
I think I got it.
We have RVs in the city that people call homes. They work in the city. Do you guys plan to develop an RV park that has water and power for people to stay in the city? Or if not, what's your alternative?
So, Darcy, for those of you who do not know, this was an entirely anticipatable problem with a very easy to implement solution. And I actually want to salute Supervisor Myrna Melgar, who proposed six different sites on vacant city property that could have accommodated these RVs. We have had a growth of 94% of family homelessness in the last 2 years in San Francisco. We saw those numbers coming, and the mayor's solution to have these vehicles towed that are full of children that are going to the San Francisco Unified School District is bad public policy. It is inhumane, and we have the land and the resources to park those RVs, and there's no reason that it should not have happened by now, except for from resistance from this administration. We have six different sites
Thank you, Aaron.
Can use.
Thank you. Actually, I was the first supervisor to pass, or, you know, first district, first supervisor to pass legislation to create safe parking in our city. And we did that against a lot of opposition, a lot of pushback. In fact, it was the largest community meeting I've had my entire time in office. 1,000 people showed up at Balboa High School. A third of the room was against it, a third of the room was willing to listen, and a third of the room was in support. But we found a site, the Balboa Upper Yard. We put 35 of the residents that were living in the surrounding area there to create a transitional space, and we created a model. And that legislation was passed, and that's what Supervisor Melgar was referencing to allow for there to be the ability. But at the end of the day, it takes leadership and management and guts. And unfortunately, this mayor, it's easy to say no overnight parking with no solution. We have over 500 families waiting on a wait list for family shelter, and over 100-plus families living in RVs. We can't just put up signs. We're just going to push them from one block to the other.
I find myself in complete agreement. We cannot allow RVs to be parked everywhere, but we should have two or three sites that are hooked up to power, that are hooked up to water. We can be compassionate about this, but nobody else I know is allowed to park on a street for 6 months, 12 months without moving their cars. So we have to follow the rules. Everybody should, and we can do this. Candlestick Point is an example of the plan gone terribly wrong. You can't drive into the national parks and just pull over and park anywhere you want. We shouldn't have that happen here in San Francisco. There will be two or three sites. I'm glad to hear Board President Peskin talk about six sites. We need two or three. We can do this. We can be compassionate. And I also want to mention, we do have 2,400 students in SFUSD that are homeless every single night. We should be ashamed of that. We need to fix that immediately.
Look, I think this RV situation in San Francisco that has been publicized so much this year is another shining example of the failure of this mayoral administration. Yes, we should have a dedicated site for RVs. Yes, the one at Candlestick Point is a complete failure right now in San Francisco. But we also have to change our reputation as a city where people are coming to sleep in tents on our sidewalks because they believe San Francisco will leave them alone. Or more people are coming with more RVs to San Francisco because they believe San Francisco will leave them alone. At the end of the day, my North Star is how do we help people get the, how do we help get these individuals and families onto a better life and clear out our neighborhoods at the same time? The reality is we have people living in neighborhoods that are getting crushed by this epidemic because of this mayor's failure. As mayor, again, my North Star, get people off the streets, get people out of RVs, get them into shelter, give them a chance at a different life, and clean up the rest of San Francisco at the same time.
Thank you.
All right, this next question is a little bit of a math lesson. So, San Francisco's housing situation presents some puzzling numbers. The state says we must build over 82,000 new homes by 2031. Yet the California Department of Finance's updated number projects only 26,000 new residents in San Francisco by 2031. The latest U.S. Census data shows we have more than 50,000 vacant units in the city. And the San Francisco Planning Department reports over 73,000 housing units are entitled. So this means we're looking at potentially 120,000 plus units for 26,000 new residents. Here's the question after that math. Given these facts, do you believe we need to change our current zoning laws? And if so, why? If not, how will you work with the state to align housing requirements with these updated population projections? To start, I'm going to begin with Daniel.
We need more affordable housing in this city. We need more housing for our young families to imagine them staying here in this city. The dream of staying in San Francisco is so out of reach for so many young people that they just immediately, when they have young children, they think, I gotta move out of the city. Young people, young families are fleeing because of safety issues, which is why public safety is my number one priority. Affordability issues and our public school system and the dysfunction there. I've said this from day one. We need to get more housing built everywhere in San Francisco. We can go 6 to 8 along commercial corridors. We can build more density downtown on the southeast part of San Francisco. There is plenty of room to build out now in Candlestick Point, Hunters Point. It actually a huge, we just overcame a big thing at planning where we are going to build thousands and thousands of units out of Candlestick Point. We have corner lots.
Thank you for your answer.
We can get this done. There's more agreement.
Thank you so much. I understand this is a hot topic here, but
sorry.
I'm going to allow everybody the same amount of time.
I was thinking about the math question.
Totally. Mark.
Thanks for that question. Look, the answer is, of course, we need to build more housing here in San Francisco. We need to build it in every single neighborhood. And the benefit of more housing, and I take your numbers, and we've digested them over time, is more housing. At the end of the day, we need to build more housing in every income level, including market rate housing, to bring the cost of housing down for everybody else in our city. I'm on a personal ticking clock. My daughter is a freshman in college. 4 years from now, I want her to move back to San Francisco. But in order for that to happen, the cost of housing has to change and it has to come down. And the only way that we're going to get there is to build more housing. Yes, we need to build more housing in every neighborhood. We need to build long commercial corridors. I do believe the greatest opportunity is in the downtown South of Market cores. But we need to incentivize developers to get building. And also, you mentioned vacant units. We also need to incentivize unit owners to actually rent those units out. So instead of taxing them, let's give them incentive. When I will do that as mayor, to give incentive to first responders,
thank you
teachers,
for
and nurses,
your answers.
Let's promote the type of people that
I'm
we want to operate the city in our housing.
Thank you for it. I will remind everybody we do have a 60-second time limit, so we can make sure that we all get to the questions. Next, Aaron.
Folks, I think we need to reject the narrative that Together SF and the billionaires that are funding that organization would like us all to believe. Let me tell you a little bit about my housing record. I have voted to rezone over half of San Francisco, from the eastern neighborhoods to the Shipyard to Treasure Island, Park Merced. over 100,000 new homes in San Francisco. In my own district, I've supported every kind of housing, homeless shelters, affordable housing, market rate housing. And I am the only major candidate in this race who supports expanding rent control to the 100,000 tenants in San Francisco that do not have those protections from price gouging. I also have a plan to build the affordable middle-income housing that we need for our teachers and our nurses and everyday working San Franciscans by utilizing tax-exempt revenue bonds at lower interest rates to build the housing that we need and unlock that pipeline of 73,000 units.
Finally, we're going to have Asha. I realize this is a hot topic, so...
It's just a five-point question. It's hard to answer in 60 seconds. Don't start my clock. But let me just say this. We have thousands of units in the pipeline, as you referenced, but part of the reason why they can't get built right now is because interest rates are too high and financing and lending is not available. I passed a piece of legislation that will reduce the transfer tax on projects that use union pension fund investment. Every single project that's building number of units over 50 uses union pension fund dollars. So if we can incentivize investment, we are going to unlock thousands of units that can get built. But at the end of the day, if you look at my track record, you look at my district, I came into office, no housing had been built in over 50 years. I'm proud to say that just 2 weeks ago, we cut the ribbon on the last 600 units of housing, 65% of it. 65% for working families, low-income families. We have to be building at all levels, but we have to prioritize working and middle-class families. And at the end of the day, of course, we can do more density, but we have to respect the different neighborhoods.
Thank you.
All neighborhoods are not the same in San Francisco. Thank you.
And this question kind of piggybacks on that one. The city has a real shortage of essential workers who serve our community, such as healthcare workers, police officers, firefighters, and teachers. Even veterinarians are in short supply. What will you do to recruit, train, and retain these critical workers in San Francisco? Mark?
Thank you. So, couldn't agree more. This comes from my childhood growing up in the city. I lived just outside the Presidio Gates because my father was in the military, and my parents' two-bedroom flat was a block and a half away from the big fire in the Marina District. And that neighborhood and my parents' unit would not have been saved had it not been the fire for the firefighters that lived on this side of the bridge that brought the Phoenix fireboat to the Marina Harbor and dragged that hose four blocks in. We need these individuals living in our city to operate our city government, to protect us every single day. That's why, as supervisor, I created the first down payment assistance program to allow first responders, police, fire, sheriffs, and 911 dispatchers to buy first homes here in San Francisco. That is why I've talked about vacant units. Instead of taxing them, let's incentivize and give a tax incentive for landlords to rent those out to first responders, to teachers and nurses in San Francisco. Housing is going to be the number one issue for this. As mayor, I will be the most proactive mayor in our city's history.
Well, we may have similar desires, but different methods. I believe that we need to hold corporate landlords accountable. You may have all just read that corporate landlords have been colluding to artificially raise rents and keep units vacant in order to raise those rents. I just passed a law, the first in the nation, that banned the use and sale of those price colluding algorithms in San Francisco, which has now spread to cities all over the country. I don't believe in giving your tax dollars to incent good behavior. I actually believe in a vacancy tax to actually charge those landlords that are keeping those units vacant a fee that we can actually use for affordable housing. I was the co-author of Proposition E to build the Shirley Chisholm apartments to provide 140 units for San Francisco educators and paraprofessionals. We
Thank
need
you.
To do more of that. That's what I'm going to do as mayor.
So again, I go back to the things that I said earlier. Everything that I've done and everything that I've been about on the Board of Supervisors has been fighting and looking at through the lens of how we can help working people. I worked with the labor movement for almost a decade. I was with the janitors union, helping those families. And when you think about it, those families, the highest concentration of them live in my district, and they own their home. 30, 40 years ago on a janitor's salary, you could buy a home in San Francisco in the Excelsior Outer Mission. Today, a home that maybe went for $100,000 goes for almost $2 million. So we have to be thinking about working people, the service sector, people that are doing the work that you talked about. What does that mean? That's why I want you to vote for Proposition N, Student Loan Forgiveness Fund for our first responders. I want you to also think about how we can fully achieve universal child care. Accessible, affordable child care is a super important thing, and it impacts the decision. And lastly, and it's unfortunate that we have to say this, but we fought for Free City College, and this mayor raided that money this year. I will never do that. That is a pipeline for working people to be able
Thank
to
you.
Get jobs and live in this city.
Thank you, Asha.
Last week, I did a ride-along with SFPD at Terravelle Station, and I asked how many officers were here in this station 6-7 years ago, and the officer told me 105 to 115, and now we're down to 53 officers at that station. I've done 8 different ride-alongs, and what I hear over and over again from our law enforcement is that they want to be in San Francisco, but they can't afford it, which is why we need more housing, but we need housing subsidies. We need childcare subsidies. One of the officers told me that they wanted to continue their education here, and I agree that we need to hold true to the Free City College so that we can get our workers trained, our first responders, our nurses, our teachers. And I also want to put a shout out, because we don't talk about this enough on the campaign trail, that we need housing for our creatives and our artists, because arts and culture is what's going to bring San Francisco back. We need more housing for them as well.
Allison.
How will you help to ensure City College continues to provide vital community programs, including training for essential workers, like the ones we just mentioned, firefighters, law enforcement, healthcare professionals, adult education for immigrants, dual enrollment for high schoolers, and pathways to higher education? Let's start with Aaron.
So I don't know if you remember the accreditation crisis where City College was being challenged by the Accreditation Commission. I teamed up with Dennis Herrera and encouraged the city attorney to sue the Accreditation Board, and we prevailed in that matter. I then teamed up with Supervisor Mandelman, who was then on the College Board, to put Proposition A on the ballot to give City College the resources that it needed to refurbish their facilities, and then joined Supervisor Jane Kim in creating Free City and finding a mechanism to fund Free City so that City College could recover. There is a movement going on in this country, including in this city, to privatize public education. We need to resist it. We need to resist it in our unified school district. We need to resist it at the community college district. It is the promise of what makes San Francisco great and gives people access to democracy.
I think this is an example of why experience matters. There was a negotiated agreement between this Board of Supervisors and the current mayor so that we wouldn't have to go to the ballot and fight for a budget set aside. And the agreement was that Free City College would be sacred, that we would use that as an opportunity to attract and encourage people to increase enrollment at Free City College. This past year, that agreement was broken, and the mayor raided that money in this budget process. And all we're doing is hurting working people when we do that. So as mayor, I will make sure that Free City College is sacred, that it won't be touched, that it will be encouraged, advanced, and supported. We even talked about doing things like having access to help buy books and pay student fees so that people can transition. City College is where people go to get training for City Build, for our trades, where they go to get nursing training, to be nurses, where they learn English as a second language, because we are a city of immigrants. We have to support that and protect it, and as mayor, it will be one of my top priorities.
Thank you.
I agree with what's just been said. we need to protect Free City College, and you have my commitment as mayor that I will do that. I have been working alongside family and Tipping Point and other organizations to make sure that, for instance, City College is training early childhood care educators. We need to make sure that we take care of infant and children 0 to 5, and that requires City College to be training those young educators. We need more of those to deliver on the promise of getting our children off to the right start. Because we know that when a child gets off to the right start, they do better their entire lives, and City College has helped do that for the last 30, 40 years, and we need to make sure we continue to do that.
Look, this is once again an example of failed leadership out of City Hall right now, and specifically the mayor's office. That there is an arrangement with the Board of Supervisors around Free City College, and reneging on that. That is not the way you build relationships and move the city of San Francisco forward. That has to change in City Hall. We have to demand different leadership in the mayor's office. City College is a part of San Francisco. It's part of who we are. This is simply a matter of budget allocation. And in my opinion, we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem inside of City Hall. Our budget is $15.8 billion. When I was mayor just 6 years ago, it was only $11 billion. And the fact that this mayor won't allocate the budget to City College is a shame. At the end of the day, for all the reasons have been articulated, it's a part of what we need to encourage, a part of what we need to support inside of City Hall. As mayor, you have my commitment to do so.
Okay, thank you. Now, Allison, after this, we're going to go to question 13, okay?
Okay.
So the sidewalks are in disrepair and pedestrians are being killed. SFMTA is unreliable, often unsafe, and in a budget crisis. Rideshare services are out of budget for many residents and frequently don't have car seats for young children and can't or don't accommodate those with disabilities. Essential workers on a night schedule are left to fend for themselves, and most elderly residents can't just hop on a scooter to pick up their groceries. Looking towards the future, what do you imagine the transportation choices are available in San Francisco in the year 2040? Aaron.
Robust public transit is one of the most important things in any city. And the number one thing that you need to make it work is funding. And we have to be able to make the tough decisions to actually adequately fund the SFMTA. And let me speak to those. I am the author of the first Uber and Lyft TNC tax in the state of California that helps fund the SFMTA. I'm a supporter of Proposition L on this November's ballot that will give the MTA the money that it needs. It is also an agency that we have to hold accountable. And I have to say, respectfully, that the mayor has increasingly not held the SFMTA accountable. The original idea was that we would allow the SFMTA to be an independent agency.
Thank you, Aaron.
But in reality, it is an agency that is no longer accountable to the mayor of San Francisco, and that needs to change.
Thank you. Asha?
So my vision for public transportation in 2040, one of the things I did as a small business consultant in this city, I worked on an undergrounding project. It was for the water department. But it set a tone where in this city, we should be undergrounding all the time. We should be looking for opportunities to expand our public transportation all over the city and county of San Francisco. But our SFMTA is broken. They try to do too many things. And one of the things they're bad at is community outreach and project management. First thing I would do would be to take the project management and construction aspect away from the MTA, put that back into Public Works, who does that well, and ask them to focus on the things that people want them to do, which is a robust public transportation system. I was the first candidate running for mayor to support Proposition L. I'm glad that Supervisor Peskin joined me. I think it's an important thing to weigh to fund our public transportation system, but we also need to change the culture as well. There's tremendous fare evasion, okay? That doesn't mean to target the poor, But we have to change the culture of how riding the bus is and public transportation in the city. And that's what that's my vision for a future public transportation system in the city. Thanks.
I think this goes to the first question that you asked about, you know, how we will surround ourselves with good people. And every one of my department heads is going to be required to collaborate and communicate and cooperate with each other. And one of the visions that I have is that we are going to once again start listening to community. And what we hear too often from SFMTA is that they are doing things to community without input. And so that will change on day one of my administration. We need a transportation plan that encompasses those that bike, those that walk, those that ride muni, and those that drive. We're not going to get everybody out of their cars, and that's okay. I'd like to see as many of those people driving EVs as possible. We need more car charging stations all over this city. But we also need to make sure that public transportation is clean, it's safe, and it's reliable, and it is getting our essential workers to and from work late at night, early in the morning, and getting our kids to and from school also early in the morning.
Thank you.
Let me be very clear. I fully support our city's transportation first policy. We need better public transportation options, better bus options, better muni options, more protected bike lanes throughout the city of San Francisco. But here's what you should expect from me as mayor. First of all, we will have a new head of the MTA. Right now, the MTA seems to be run on ideology as opposed to common sense. As mayor, I will make sure that they don't focus on these capital projects that are over time and over budget, but focus on operations. Let's not have another train wreck like Terraville has been for the small business owners, for the neighborhoods out on the west side and in the Sunset. Let's not have another debacle like at West Portal or the Valencia Street bike lanes. As mayor, I will focus on operations. Let's make it safe. Let's make sure we don't have people evading fares, doing drugs on muni, so everybody comes back to muni. Let's bring these bus lines back. We need the express lines back to bring people back to the office downtown. That will be my priority. We will have fundamental change in muni when I'm mayor.
Thank you. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to fully staff our police department anytime soon. So what ideas do you have to make people in San Francisco feel safe? I'm going to begin with Asha.
Great.
don't start my time. People are not supposed to laugh. We're supposed to be quiet, please. I'm just kidding. No, seriously, listen, this is a really important issue. It's probably the number one issue we hear the most on the campaign trail, and we've heard over the last few years, public safety. I passed legislation in January of this year to change the way we do policing in San Francisco. We have to do true, proactive community policing. Get the officers out of their cars and back in the community. As members of the board, when we negotiated the budget, we did put enough money in there. So when there aren't enough officers hired, that money turns into overtime, and we have the ability to staff. But we don't want to run our officers into the ground. So we definitely need new creative ideas to attract them. That's why I put Proposition N on the ballot. We want to give people the incentive to come work for our city, and not just police. All areas are public safety, nurses, deputy sheriffs, firefighters, paramedics, and police officers. If you come work for our city for 3 years, we'll give you up to $25,000 of loan forgiveness. So vote for Proposition N, and we'll get our departments back up.
Thank you for your
answer. Build trust back in the community.
She did start the time, so after the laughter. So I'm going to go to Daniel next.
This is the number one priority in our city, and that's what I've said is my number one priority, a fully staffed police department, a fully staffed sheriff's department, and a fully staffed 911 dispatch office. And you can't just be for public safety during an election year, which is what we've seen from this mayor. It's simply unacceptable. We need to lift the morale of our police. We need to, instead of having every interaction on the street be with somebody with a badge and a gun, we need trained clinicians going out, dealing with those people that are in the throes of addiction or suffering from mental health crisis. It shouldn't be a police officer. 80% of the calls that police respond to are for somebody in distress or a tent encampment. We need to pull our officers back. We need to make sure that they are out walking the beat. We need officers that look like the communities that they serve, speak the language of the communities they serve. I've talked with current command staff and former command staff, and we can recruit 425 officers in my first 3 years. We will get that done.
So you asked, what can we do to make San Francisco safe again? We can elect a new mayor. So I'm very proud of my history inside of City Hall as budget chair, partnering with Mayor Lee and then as mayor. We grew our police department to record staffing levels. We had over 2,300 officers in our police department. And over the last 6 years under this current mayoral administration, we've lost 600 officers. So we're down over 25%. That is not a commitment to public safety. What you will expect from me as mayor is someone who will do that again. You should expect from me as mayor, not someone who will defund the police department like a current mayor did, but someone who will fully fund the police department once again. Someone who will fully staff up our police department again. And more than anything, who will lead by example and lead from the bully pulpit of the mayor's office to say, San Francisco is no longer a place where we will tolerate crime. We're going to have a zero tolerance approach. There will be consequences to crime in the city of San Francisco. And my job as mayor is to make sure every single San Francisco resident is safe.
Thank you for your answer. Finally, I'm going to have Aaron.
It's easy to talk tough, but in my experience, the tough talkers usually don't get the job done. What we need is tough management and a balanced approach to make San Francisco safer. First, let me tell you that I've worked with the officers and captains at Central Station in my district for 25 years. They know my work, and that is why I'm proud that so many of those officers and captains are supporting my campaign for mayor. Second, recruiting and retaining quality officers is absolutely important, and that is why I co-authored Proposition F on this November's ballot to retain veteran officers. I have grown the police department budget by over $100 million since 2023 when I became board president, and together with Supervisor Safai, am supporting a schools to officers pathway with forgivable college loans to bring people from our community to patrol our community with the training that they need to solve our police staffing problems.
Thank you. Okay, last question. Yay. Okay, so at the end of your first term as mayor, what will be your administration's legacy in San Francisco? Daniel.
It's not going to take 4 years. Give me two. We're going to call our friends in the South Bay and in the East Bay and in the North Bay, and we're going to say, hey, come in and spend an afternoon downtown, and we're going to go shopping in Union Square. We're going to go out for a meal. We're going to go see a show at the Golden Gate Theater, and they're going to be like, okay, I'm coming to see you. Because right now, we know. We call our friends and we say, come on, visit us in San Francisco. They're like, nuh-uh, you come visit me. And we are going to get Union Square back up and running. I am going to have a police district focused on our hospitality zone that will cover Union Square, Yerba Buena Center, and Moscone Center, so our shoppers, our tourists, and our visitors feel safe downtown again. 70% of our revenue comes from downtown. We need to make sure to reinvigorate it. Safety will be a top priority in my first term.
So here's what to expect after my first term in office. Number one, San Francisco will be safe again. We have a new police chief, we fully fund our police department once again, and we fully staff our police department once again. Number one priority. Second of all, our homeless situation. We will not have homelessness on the rise like we have today. Homelessness will be decreasing. As I did as mayor in 2018, we'll clear out the large tenant encampments in our city, get people into shelter and housing. The fentanyl crisis, the drug crisis that's on our streets today, in the Tenderloin, south of Market, in many different neighborhoods, will not be what it is. We will focus once again on not enabling drug abuse on the streets like our current administration is doing, but getting people off the streets, connected with services, cleaning up our neighborhoods at the same time. You should expect an economy that is thriving once again in San Francisco, a mayor that is proactive, bringing businesses back to our city to drive that economic engine going forward. And finally, you expect me as mayor, and after my first term in office, to have a San Francisco that's focused on families once again and prioritizes what it's like to raise children in our city.
Thank you.
It's important to have a plan. I am the only candidate in this race that has a comprehensive strategy to deal with homelessness and behavioral health. It is called From Crisis to Care. I developed it with experts in the field. If you want the details, you can read it online at erin2024.com. I want, in my first 4 years, to fully implement that plan. Systemic management reform of the 9 city departments and 248 nonprofit service providers. I want to lead a groundbreaking regional effort with the 9 Bay Area counties, the cities of San Jose and Oakland, to create the regional facilities that this region needs to take on homelessness and drug abuse and behavioral health. I want to refurbish unused and underutilized state facilities and come together and have the efficiencies and the economies of scale. I want to prevent homelessness before it happens by keeping the most vulnerable housed. And there are ways to do that. And that is part of this plan.
Thank you, Erin.
Go read this online. I developed it with experts.
Can I get an extra 15 seconds? I'm just kidding. Listen, there's no bigger issue facing San Francisco right now than the overdose crisis on our streets. Over the last few years, we've had over 3,000 people die on our streets and thousands more die and get resuscitated. After 4 years, we will absolutely turn this crisis around. So many things that are going wrong with San Francisco right now, the street conditions, the safety, the suffering on our streets, all revolve around this crisis. It is a mental health and it is a drug addiction crisis. We need to repopulate the beds. Now UCSF, thank you UCSF, purchased St. Mary's and St. Francis. Let's get those beds online. Let's have partnerships with places like the Salvation Army, who have 1,000 beds that they want to bring online for true recovery. Let's deal with that and all else will follow. We can deal with the 3 crown jewels, Fisherman's Wharf, downtown, Union Square. But before we get to any of that and bring people back to our city, we have
Thank
to
you,
deal
Asha.
With this crisis on our streets.
Thank you.
So that was our last question. Now it's time to share your closing statements with the audience today. We will go in reverse alphabetical order by first name. Again, 60 seconds. I'm going to start with Mark.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being here this evening. You know, this election is going to come down to 2 questions. Are you satisfied with the leadership inside of City Hall, or do you believe we need change? Do you believe we need to turn the page on the last 6 years inside of City Hall and write a new chapter for the future of San Francisco? I'm running for mayor because I believe San Francisco deserves better. We deserve change. And I'm running for mayor because I believe experience matters. I've been in City Hall for 7.5 years. I've been mayor before. I've spent over 20 years in business and finance in the private sector. I believe competence matters. And I also believe a strong vision for the future of San Francisco matters. My vision for the future of our city is a city that is safe, a city with clean streets, a city with a growing economy, a city with thriving neighborhoods, and once again, a focus on families. And I look forward to hitting the ground running on day one to turn that vision into reality for every single San Francisco resident. Thank you.
I want to just say that when I become your mayor, it's going to be the model that I'm going to practice is true public service, not for personal profit or personal gain, but to serve you, the people, the taxpayers, the residents. I'm always going to remember that the $15.9 billion that is allocated each year is your money. It deserves to be protected. The corruption, the lack of accountability it continues year after year, decade after decade. And I simply have to say, if you want change in this race, there's only one choice. If you want more of the same, you have plenty of options. I'm humbly asking for your vote this November. It will be the honor of a lifetime to serve as your mayor. You will never see someone work harder than me as your next mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. I want you to walk away from this evening and ask yourself one central question. Who has the vision, experience, and track record to fight for all San Franciscans? Not just the rich, but working and middle-class families. Those are the ones that are often forgotten in this city. Of all the candidates on this stage, I bring the most diverse set of experiences to this job. I work for two mayors. I've been a deputy department head. I work for Public Works. I've run my own small business, and I've been on the Board of Supervisors for the past 8 years. This is not an entry-level job. You have to be ready for this job and the crisis our city faces day one. And I'm not about to make excuses. I promise you accountability as your mayor. I'm proud to be endorsed by more labor unions than any other candidate in this race because I have fought for working and middle-class families from day one. And I will fight for a safe, affordable, thriving city for all San Franciscans. For all San Franciscans. I hope you'll join me.
Thank you to the League of Women Voters. Thank you to UCSF. And thanks for all of you for coming tonight and participating in democracy. I'm running for mayor because I love San Francisco, and I want this to be a place that working people can afford to live and raise their families in. Elected 5 times by the good people of the northeast corner of the city, 17 years of public service, serving 3 times as president of the board, I have shown again and again the absolute independence to stand up to the powerful special interests that are moving the city in the wrong direction. I want to thank the California Nurses, the Service Employees International Union, the National Healthcare Workers Union, the San Francisco Teachers, the American Federation of Teachers, and ask you to join them. I will fight for you. I will fight for our neighborhoods. I will fight to keep San Francisco the affordable city that we love. I hope you will join me.
Okay, that's the end. On behalf of the League of... I'm going to close it out for just a moment. So on behalf of the League of Women Voters of San Francisco, thank you to all of our candidates, our partner organizations, and UCSF for our nonpartisan forum. For all those here today turning in online or watching the recording, thank you for participating in our democracy and learning about your choices. We do have another forum on Wednesday for Sheriff. Please visit our website at lwvsf.org to learn more. I also want to thank our volunteers and members today. And please remember to vote on November 5th. Thank you and have a great evening.
Please remember to vote. Your vote counts. Thank you for attending. Good night.